Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here. Just one more time. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we are grateful and thankful to be able to bring Truth Ministry to you one more time. So just thank God for his grace that bringeth salvation, which hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, godly, and in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we just glad to be here one more time with Truth Ministry. Excuse me. We'd like to thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our LinkedIn connections and friends and followers, all our Facebook friends and followers, and also our Twitter followers and listeners. Thank God for you. So we are continuing on here in the perfect law of liberty. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, there is one spirit and one body, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. And that is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. So thank God for that. So you too can have the salvation of God. That is, just like they preached it on the day of Pentecost. Peter, the man, preached, said that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. So when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. This is that on the day of Pentecost. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So he testified and exhorted with many other words. They that gladly received his words were baptized. So it added unto the church about 3,000 souls. So we just thank God for his words, knowing that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. So that is what the theme of the Bible is about. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the great God throughout eternity, made himself known. He was a fearful God. People were afraid of him. He would appear unto people. Back in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's day, he was known to them by the name of God Almighty. Exodus 6 and 3 was known by them, you know, by his name, Jehovah. So after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. So we just thank God that we know that it's the same one God. And especially in the book of Isaiah, he just testifies so much that I'm with, you know, no God with me, no God beside me, no God after me, no God before me. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. That's what a lot of people don't understand, that God can appear in whatever form he wants to appear. Just because he became a man, we know that there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Just because he became a man, he didn't stop being God. He can never be what he is not, but when he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. So thank God for that. And every man does not have that knowledge in them. So some things come by revelation, but it has to be revealed unto you. And this is what happened with Moses. He wasn't back there in the beginning. He wrote, even though he wrote the first five books of the Bible, Moses wasn't back there in the beginning, but the Bible said that he made known his ways unto Moses. That's revelation. To make known is a revelation. And it's acts to the children of men. Like we say, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So we just thank God that we're here to continue in the perfect law of liberty. And like Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that's why Apostle Paul's son told his son Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So should you desire to have a comment or a question, you're welcome to do that. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. That is our call-in number. Certainly you are welcome to call in. So we are continuing on with miracles, part two on today. Continuing, we've been in the book of Mark about the last month, I'd say, because we started off in December, I believe. So we've been talking about miracles. So actually, a lot of their synoptic gospels, they're saying the same things, or maybe another gospel writer may have seen something in a different light than another of the gospel writers. For example, just like Jesus' mother-in-law was sick, not Jesus' mother-in-law, but Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick, so they stood, he took her by the hand, Jesus did, and the fever left her. Another writer says he touched her hand and the fever left her. Another writer says he stood over her and the fever left her. So everyone saw the same thing, but some of the writers go into different details. So we know that there is only one gospel. There are four gospel writers, as we would say. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are gospels. Truly, the one of the most important is the Acts of the Apostles. That is where you can know how to be saved, the salvation plan, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Ghost that was working in the Apostles, show you how to receive the salvation of God. And truly, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So nothing like the word. So we get in the word so we can say what the word of God says. So we're going to be continuing on here today in the book of Mark. And we left off on last week here talking about riches. I'll go back a little farther. Jesus looked up about round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? He was making a statement. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So in other words, the operative word right there would be trust. So he goes on, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And that's another part right there. People would wonder, like an eye of a needle. I'm not talking about no needle that you put thread in. But they're talking about the gate that the camel would have to go through. They said a camel would have to get down on their knees to go through the gate. That is what he is talking about. So he goes on here to say, they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who can be saved? Jesus beholding them, Jesus looking upon them, saith, with men this is impossible, but with God, for all things are possible with God. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So this is where we left off on last week, so we're continuing today. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. They were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid to look. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Okay, but one point I would like to make here as going, and they went in the way going up to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, you always went up to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the mother of us all. So Jerusalem is God's holy mountain. Rome is not God's holy mountain. Mecca is not God's holy mountain. But God's holy mountain has and always will be Jerusalem. And think about it. Just like John said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. In other words, a city suspended in mid-air, coming down from heaven, out of heaven, as a bride adorned for her husband. So God's holy mountain has always been Jerusalem and always will be Jerusalem. So here, this he's going to tell them about his impending death. So he said, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. So remember, going up, the next verse. And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, they shall scourge him, spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said it unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Now, don't think that he didn't know. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on the right on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Think about this. They had to know who he was. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be prepared unto them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So this is twice here. You notice the previous time that he was saying that he was going to be killed. They're going to mock him, they're going to scourge him, spit upon him, kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then so here, he says he's going to give his life a ransom for many. But it seems like they're really not really understanding what he's saying. So they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Talking about Jesus. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And when they were come nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you enter it, you shall find a colt tied where never man set. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do ye loosing the coat? What do ye loosing the coat? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the coat to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in their way. And they that went and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money chargers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, It is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. There's that word that people are so afraid of too many times, but the word doctrine means teaching. Teaching is going to either help you be saved or help you be lost. False teaching is going to destroy you. The right teaching is going to make sure you'll be saved by the right doctrine or right teaching. When even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a miracle too. We don't look at it as so, but that's how it goes. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. You don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And it's definitely one of the parables that he gave one time. And so he was saying how someone was delivered to the tormentors. So he says, so shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you don't forgive every man their trespasses. So you definitely got to forgive. This is a forgiving way. When you walk with God, you got to do it right. And, I mean, that's what he looks at, our heart. So we can, no lip service over here. But when you're walking with God, you got to do the right thing. So again, I like to say, should you desire to call in or should you have a question, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So this is trying to find the that just come to mind about that one particular scripture, but I'll go ahead. But yes, so you got to forgive from your heart is definitely the most important thing that we have to do when we're walking with God. We can fool one another, but we can't fool the Lord. So that's definitely something that you got to take heed about. We can't fool him, so we might as well be right and be clean along the way, and you don't have anything to worry about. And walking with God, you need to have a honest heart when you walk with God. Definitely want your heart to be right. So we going on here in our talking about our miracles here, various things that happen as we move on here. So we know this was a lot of unbelief and things that happened, and this is what the Lord marveled at because of unbelief. He definitely marveled at that and people having unbelief. So he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So we know we talked about back in weeks past about the miracle of the loaves and the 5,000 and the 7,000 and the him telling them to go to the other side and Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the word come. All of these such miracles that he did when they got in the boat and went with him. So as we continue on today, so like I said, this forgiveness is so very important here, what he's talking about. So they came again to Jerusalem as he was walking in the temple. There come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? You imagine somebody asking the master that? They didn't, it's the, you know, religious authorities. So it says these were the chief priests and scribes and elders. So this was the religious order of that day. So he goes on here to say, Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say, from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say, of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. So that's what you call shutting them up, because you're going to try to act like you want to. He answered a question with a question. They didn't want to answer his question, so they didn't get an answer. But that they did all of that for a reason, to be smart Alex anyway, because they had known, just like Jesus said, if you would have known, you would have read the scripture, you would have known me. because when he mentioned about Moses, he said, because you would have read Moses, you would have known me, because he's talking about Moses. He said, he wrote of me. So this is why, this is what they preached. And Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts that he preached none of the things that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. See, they didn't have the Gospels. The letters weren't written. The job of an apostle, which so many people don't understand, I mean, it's simple. You just have to open up your heart and receive it, because I didn't understand that either. But the scripture will support scripture, but they didn't have the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like I said. They didn't have Acts. They didn't have the epistles, because the apostles that Jesus chose, they were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. This is what we are built upon, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So they laid the foundation. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. Talking about the apostles, they wrote the New Testament scriptures. Not all of them. Some other. Luke was not an apostle, but for the most part. Okay, they laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. So there are no apostles nowadays. So that really blows me away. So many people calling themselves apostles. Apostle Paul said he was the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, the seal of my apostleship, he said, when he wrote to one church, are you, in other words, you are the seal of mine apostleships. He was talking to them. So you can't make yourself an apostle, but the Lord has to call you an apostle. So the job of it, it's really simple. Only four, only in the foundations, the 12 foundations in the book of the Revelation are the 12 names of the names of the 12. There are no apostles nowadays, but that's just an argument for some. So he began to speak unto them by parables. So, and a certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to his husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. They caught him, beat him, sent him away empty. Again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet, therefore, one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. They took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And of what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will gather the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is made the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You know what stones they rejected? That was the Lord Jesus himself. And notice here, without a parable, spake he not unto them. And this was a parable here in this first beginning of Mark 12. It says, and he began to speak unto them by parables. So we go on here, and they sought to lay hold on him, talking about Jesus, but feared the people, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. So that is simply amazing. These so-called religious leaders, what they did, And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. This is Jesus now, what they're trying to do. When they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or no? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they bought it. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. They asked him, saying, Moses, a master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brethren. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and dying left no seed. The second took her, he died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise, and the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. As touching the dead, they that rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how that in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. So one part you want to go back to here is the angels. He says, But when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. So to be as an angel, they are neuter gender beings, is what he's saying, as the angel. He said you're not going to be just like them, but you're going to be as them. So an angel is a created being which is neither male nor female. It's a term called neuter gender, neither male nor female. Just like God, the divine essence of God is spirit. It doesn't matter what God has become. God is still a spirit, even though he became a man. There's one mediator between God and men. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. But it matters not what God has become. God is still, is neuter gender. So this is what he's saying. So that just strikes a death lick in the folly of these people thinking that if they kill themselves, they're going to have 72 virgins. I mean, that's just a big lie. You're not going to have nothing. And it doesn't make any sense, because in the world to come, there's not going to be marrying nor giving in marriage, no way or anyway, whatever kind of way you want to put it. It's not going to be so, because in the world to come, and the Lord is going to marry the church. The church is the bride of Christ. So that's just folly for people to think that they're going to, these people are blowing themselves up, thinking that they're going to get a 72 virgins, not going to get nothing. And that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. Because even you blow it up, you can't even find your brain, let alone anything else. That don't even make sense. But that's the lie that the devil is deceiving them. And so this, when you read the book of the Revelation, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So those are going to be the only two live people cast into the lake of fire alive. One is the beast, the other is the false prophet, going to be cast in there alive. They are going to beat the devil to the lake of fire. So how horrible is that going to be? But the point being is that he is a deceiver. So he's a big liar. He don't care who he fools. So it behooves us to take heed to that no man deceives us. This is one of the warnings when you read in Matthew, the 24th chapter, when you read in Mark, the 13th chapter, when you read in Luke, the 17th chapter, when you read in Luke, the 21st chapter, warnings that the Lord said they was going to, what's going to be the sign of your coming, the end of the world, these things that they ask. Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So that trumps everybody. I don't care what someone calls themselves, a leader. They're not saying what the Lord says. Get away from them. This is what Apostle Paul was saying in the book of Galatians, that we are an angel from heaven. Preach any other gospel than that which ye have heard, let them be accursed. Again, I say unto you, if somebody come preaching another gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So you got to pay very close attention to repetition. Then one thing is so very important, and Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost, and I mean, it's not to be taken at lightly, and that is these words. He testified and exhorted with many other words, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do to save yourself. So sometimes people may be, they may be, have to leave the church that they're at to go to another church. And I'm not saying that they're not at a true church, but sometimes you got to do what you have to do, because it doesn't matter when you get to heaven. I mean, some people are so stuck on certain leaders, so stuck on a certain church. Yeah, this is so-and-so-and-so-and-so. My pastor is so-and-so. Ain't going to matter. Jesus is going to make all things new. He's the great love. That's what we want to do, is to be caught up to meet him. Like they said, the song says, I'm going to be caught up to meet him in the air, talking about Jesus. Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's what's very important. We got to meet him. So you can't, it's a hard saying. It's kind of hard for some people to digest or to stomach or whatever word we want to call it. But what Jesus said trumps what everybody said. So it's many false prophets and false Christs. People are fleecing the sheep. There's some clever people that are saying all kinds of things. Like Apostle Paul was saying, he knew what after his departing, many shall arise. In the 20th chapter of Acts, I believe it is, speaking perverse things, the apostle said, to draw away disciples after them. You know, so this is what people are doing, just to make people come follow them. So what you want to do is know that Jesus, your leader, is teaching Jesus, and you following your leader, like Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we got to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil, is what we have to do. So can't be. And you shouldn't be, and you shouldn't want to be food. So you got to not be. You got to know what the scripture says. So this is why he was letting them know that he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You do therefore greatly err. You know that one writer said, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. So one of the scribes came unto him, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So definitely is true. You love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to do nothing wrong to hurt your neighbor. You would treat him as you would yourself. You would be in good shape, as you should be. So this is the problem with the world. They're not doing that. And it's really the same scripture here. Matthew gives an account of the same one. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" This is Matthew, the apostle. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So it's the self same one. Like I said, there are different the writers give a different, they give the same account, but they go maybe a little deeper as the way that they look at it. "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he." That's the thing that many don't understand nowadays. There's not three, there's not two. There's one, and it's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. So that's why our theme that we keep trying to stress and bring your way is that there is one spirit and one body. So if you cannot remember, that is very easy to remember, and it comes by revelation, the oneness. This is in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling." One spirit, one body, and one spirit. So that is so very important. So then the writer, as like I said, we use the scriptures talking about the Godhead, about the oneness of God, and "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him," talking about Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him by baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," that word quickened means made alive, "together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You see, what we want to stress here, that the three places where the scripture word Godhead is. So it's also in the book of Romans, where the word Godhead is, because it's only in the Bible, in the Holy Writ, three times. So we go here, we know that the apostle here was writing here in the book of Romans about Jesus. So anywhere,
And also in the Acts of the Apostles. So he was talking about his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here he's talking the wrath of God. Well, the 16th verse, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is he talking about? The gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In what? The gospel. Righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we hear Romans 1 and 20, Colossians 2 and 9. Then we also, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the word Godhead is in the book of the Acts 2. And I know I've said this at times, but go ahead here. Every week we don't have time to go, just if I don't start off and just bring it right out. But he goes on here. He's talking about the Athenians, what happened here, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some good things. So he goes on here. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills. This is in Acts 17 chapter. And said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. In other words, you also are superstitious. For as I passed by, beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom ye therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breadeth and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also of his offspring. Talking about God. For as much then we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. So he's talking about the Godhead. So those are the three scriptures in the Bible. Romans, in the book of Romans, in the book of Acts, in the book of Colossians, where you will see the word Godhead here in the scriptures. So we go on here. So we know we're talking about the great commandment here. And then, so we go on here, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said in truth, there's one God, there's none other but him. And to love him with all your heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and thy neighbor as thyself, love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus said, when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, for no man after that durst ask him any questions. Talking about Jesus. So Jesus answered and said unto him, while he taught in the temple, how say that, say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. Whence is he then his son?
That is amazing how he put that. So he said, and the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace, the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses for pretense, make long prayers. These receive the greater damnation. And Jesus said over against the treasurer, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So that is a miracle
in itself there too. So we thank God. We know our time is about out for this week, and we're going to be continuing on here on next time. So we just thank God for the word on today. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.